And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew, I mean to say, it goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, right across the border from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches in North Georgia and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just radio. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, watching us on places like Rumble, X, YouTube, our website, rightsidemedia.org. And thank you very much for the podcasters as well who catch us after the fact. All the bottom line is here that I want to say how much we appreciate this audience no matter which way you find the show. We love you, we appreciate you, and you're the reason why we do what we do. All right, it is Thankful Thursday. I am thankful for the crew that helps make all this happen. And there's some people that are just not always in the studio, but they mean a lot to us, and they provide occasional commentary. And those people are, in this case, joining us right now for a segment we do every Thursday. So sitting right here in studio with me, the silky smooth technological whiz, former Navy guy, Butters, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Thankful Thursday. Thankful for you.
I'm very thankful to be here.
Outstanding. Looking northward, the diva of conservative dialogue would be right there on the line with us, Lee from Huntsville. Hello, Leister. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Well, we're glad you're with us. We're thankful you too. So that means I got a quorum. Hit me some whoop whoops on Butters and Lee. All right, you guys, y'all know the deal. I ask questions the first round, you ask questions on the second round. So here's my first question. I mean, I hate to even talk about the midterms already, but here we are. It's politics. It's what we do. But next year is going to be the midterms, and the Dems are already like, oh, we're going to get you then, and your little dog, too. I mean, it's going to be, you know, game on. So my question for you is there any single issue that you can see right now, any issue, the Dems can use to beat up on Republicans in the midterms? Like something that's happening, you're like, oh, God, that's going to hurt later. Anything that will serve as a wedge or an anchor, giving Democrats a boost next year in the midterms. What do you think, Lee? You first.
Well, as it sits right now, I think they'll try to use the Epstein thing, because I've seen a lot of people online saying, oh, well, he's in there, that's why he won't release it, which is ridiculous, because they would have released it long ago if that was true.
Oh, yeah.
But I think they'll still try and use that. I think they're going to try and use the flooding in Texas to say somehow Trump, you know, conjured up clouds and caused the flood, and then didn't, you know, made sure they didn't have any warning and all this kind of mess, which none of the cuts he made to NOAA or haven't even gone into effect yet. So it's all a ridiculous argument, but they count on their own constituents to not understand the difference and to just say, oh, orange man bad, yes. I mean, I think they do. So I believe they could probably use both of those. And you know, we'll see what the economy does and tariffs. You know, if it doesn't improve drastically, they could also, you know, put that in there.
Okay, so economy, tariffs, maybe. I think those are going to play out. And right now,
maybe, yeah.
All right, and then you said maybe Epstein and maybe Texas. All right, so Butterman, is there anything out there that you see, or do you disagree, or do you disagree for that matter, with the mighty Lee from Huntsville?
Well, so I think I'm going to answer your question, but maybe not completely directly.
Ah, geez.
I think Republicans have got to understand, like, we're not dealing with Republicans now. As we're talking about midterms and what's going on, it's not like you're talking to Republicans, and at the same time, the Democrats, I don't know who they're talking to, but you know, they're way off. So I think there's a lot of people that used to be Democrats or certainly were centrist. And it's not necessarily, you know, it's not as straightforward. And I think it's gonna be really interesting to figure out the messaging of all of this kind of stuff, because I think you're gonna see a lot of, they're talking about the exact same thing, only the Democrats are talking to one people that see it completely different than the folks that might go vote for Republican. So,
all right, so what you're describing,
all those issues, I think are good. I think they're going to both get spun into multiple different ways. So
all those issues she named?
Yeah, all the stuff. Yeah. But this Epstein stuff is a good example of kind of shooting yourself in the foot, in my opinion. From the Republican side of things. And because, again, it's not about the Republicans. The diehard Republicans are going to vote Republican. It's all the folks that came over that helped push the needle.
I think that on the Epstein thing, and I'm not talking about my feelings of the issue. I'm talking about just what I think is going to wind up happening. I think that on the Epstein thing, that unless something new happens, I think that a year and a half from now, when they actually go to vote in the actual general election, that the Epstein thing will very likely have faded, and some of the other agenda items of the administration are going to be the things that we're going to be running on or running against. What I do believe is going to happen is they'll probably use some Republicans like Tucker Carlson or other who have, you know, had some inflammatory comment to say about the Epstein. I think they'll use those sound bites against us as, look, other Republicans even said so. I think that'll happen. Absolutely. I just don't know that a year and a half from now it's still going to resonate as deeply with the broad base. There will always be niche voters who are their single issue voters and they only vote on the one thing. But the broad base voters, I don't know that's going to stand up yet, unless, like I said, something new and drastic happens, like the black book materializes, you know, whatever. All right, crazy cool. All right, let me ask you this, though. Let me switch gears. So talking about boat anchors on a party, talking about things that can drag a party down in a broad sense, my question for you is, does Mamdani matter? Does Mamdani matter in the big picture? Because right now he's running to be mayor of New York City, but New York City is like a nation unto itself in some ways. It's like a state by itself. If Mamdani gets elected as a socialist slash communist who has been anti-Semitic and all these, is that going to wind up hurting Democrats in, say, I don't know, Iowa or in Maine or in Alabama? Is Mamdani going to be an anchor on the Democrat Party? You first this time, Butterman.
I think Mamdani ought to be a giant warning and a shining example of things are different. Again, who are they marketing themselves? Who are they trying to pitch the Democrat? I mean, it sure seems like they're like all in and going further and further to wherever it is that they're going to. And there's a whole bunch of people that clearly see the world just completely differently than most of us think. The whole dynamic in New York has changed, right? You got a huge bunch of like Jews that made a bunch of money and left, and who's left to vote is some crazy people apparently in New York City. And I think that, so how does that translate to other parts of the, it's, well, has this happened in other places? Because it's just, wow. Like, because everybody would sit back and go, surely that's not going to happen. Every sane person in America would go, how on earth? But it did. And I think that that everybody needs to be reviewing, okay, let's not take anything for granted.
I'm still trying to get past the rich Jews left and left the crazy people. Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, I mean the voter demographic that you had in New York City.
Okay,
you had people with money that actually weighed in and voted, and a lot of those people have gone. Like they made it, and they decided this is not where and so they're not there to be voters. I'm just saying, Republicans need to not sit back and go, "We won," and like we're just getting started with this fight. And I think Mamdani is a shining example of that. Okay.
All right. Leister, what do you think? Mamdani, does he matter? Is he going to be an impact to Democrats in other places? What's your thought?
He matters. He galvanizes that AOC wing of the party, which is pushing and pushing and pushing to become a larger part, a controlling part of the party. And when that happens, they will quickly go down the rabbit hole of socialism, communism. It will happen very, very quickly. So I think he will be used as a cudgel to hit Democrats over the head everywhere outside of New York. And I think for the next presidential election, if he gets elected, which I don't know if it's a guarantee that he will, but if he gets elected, I think that some of the ridiculousness that he's bringing, you know, free everything, here's your free stuff, which is essentially what he's offering to everyone.
Yeah.
Low rent, free food, or, you know, could government control this and that and the other? When they finally realize that that's not actually going to work, then that can also be used as a you know, we can hit him all over the head with like, see, you want socialism, socialism doesn't work. So I think he'll be important in that sense. Nationwide, I don't know how many, I think outside of the left and the right coast, I don't know how many even Democrats truly want this sort of socialist intrusion into their party. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that the I would say that the broader stalwart Democrats, the ones who've been around for a while, especially the establishment Democrats, are having a freak out mode because they realize that every single campaign mailer for dog catcher anywhere in America is going to have a picture of Mondani on it. And rightfully, and they're earning that because they're earning it not just because it's happening in one place, but they're earning it because you mentioned it, AOC, Bernie Sanders, Ilhan Omar, all of the freak show people in the Democrat Party are rallying to his support and making it like he's a celebrity candidate. And the guy's like, who is this guy? You know, everybody's like, Mondani, what? But yeah, I think it's going to be a boat anchor. I can remember somebody running for public service commission in Alabama and saying how they were going to help Trump. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're just using his name because you're going to see Mamdani's picture on everything, I think, in if he wins the election.
I will say on the greater discussion of the midterms, I think it'll go either we got a lot of questions of exactly where we sit as a country, or it will be, you know, basically this past election over again, and the numbers will hold true. And we're like, no, about 75% of the country really actually is like, you guys are nuts. So fortunately, the Democrats have just kept, no, we just messaged wrong. Our thoughts aren't wrong. We messaged wrong.
Yeah.
And
that's
so,
all it was,
you know, so if that holds out to be true. Now, obviously, if the economy goes nuts, you know, there's no telling what could happen. But I think either we go, yep, no, we're right. Like, Democrats, y'all really need to, like, you really need to listen to people.
Well, we'll wait and see. But right now, I mean, there he is. The Democrats are, I'm talking CNN, they're saying Democrats are praising Zohran Mamdani after his Capitol Hill meeting. Okay. So he's up on Capitol Hill looking for more Democrats to back him. All right, you guys, that's round one. Appreciate you. Good Lord. Appreciate you. We'll go ahead and take a break, come right back. Round two, Butters and Lee. We flip the script. They ask me questions. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. All right, we're back with round two of Butters and Lee. This is the part where they flip the script and ask me questions. So I'm going to go ahead and say, Lee, you first. What do you got?
So Tuesday was the Huntsville Madison County Public Library board meeting.
Yay.
And yeah, so exciting, right? Not usually a point of controversy, but there was quite the number of, blue purple hair, nose ring aficionados at the meeting who were very loud, booed and said things during when people were talking, which is very unusual. And
at a library board meeting. I mean, this is where they ought to be shushed, because in libraries you have to get shushed, right?
Exactly. And then at the end, a guy led a chant saying the F word. So nothing was said to them or done to them, mind you. And at the very end, one of the ladies that has spoken, a man came up who lives as a woman, transgender man, however you put it, came up and spit on her for her opinion. And I wanted to ask you, do you think we've gone around the bend? Is decorum just gone when this happens at a library meeting? And do you think we can get it back?
First of all, yes. I think we've gone around the bend with some people. Now, I would say that the ardent left has lost their minds. And what you just described was not what I would call protest. What you described was mental illness, a lot of it. Not just the transgender piece, but like, you know, the nose ring F-bomb shouters were they have zero they have zero couth. Yeah, good word. But they have zero ability to recognize their own inability to be socially acceptable. either that or they don't care because they're sociopathic. So those folks are literally they're struggling with life in general. I guarantee you they're all struggling with life in some sort of way, but they're foisting it upon everybody else. Now, having said that, it's also a leadership issue. I don't know who was running that board meeting, but they should have had more security there. They should have taken some steps to shut the microphone off. They should have asked for people to get themselves under control or set the ground rules up front or ask them to leave if they didn't. And so if that's the way it's going to be run in a library board meeting, I would say that, first of all, the people who run library board meetings are probably not used to having to step out and do that kind of thing. But they better get their act together and realize if you're going to be in charge of anything, if you're going to be in charge of a lemonade stand on the street corner with kids, you still got to have rules and you got to take care of things and you can't let it get out of hand.
Can I just ask, did anyone deck said person that spit on people? Did anybody lay them out on the floor?
The charges were filed.
Okay, because then I would say we still have decorum then, that nobody, because that certainly seems like it would have been appropriate.
After the fact, decorum of filing charges because something somebody did when they weren't stopped is not the same thing as having decorum when they needed it. Decorum because you got caught is not the same as decorum that prevented you from doing it.
No, I'm just saying the adults in the room had some decorum because they didn't smack them around. So.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Well, there's that. You know what? There's a time and a place, and I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to promote violence or whatever else. But you know, if you get spit on, I was going to say it's game on at that point. So, just saying. Wow. Okay, that one got me fired up. Library boards. Who figured? All right. Pray tell, what less controversial thing do you have?
Let's take it down a notch and talk about Gavin Newsom.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
So I don't know if you've watched Sean Ryan had Gavin on and
quite the spectacle, 4 hours.
I will say good on him for the effort. I kind of am in the crowd that got through about 12 to 22 minutes somewhere in there and finally was like, I just can't listen anymore. But kind of back to the first half, your questions. I can see he's going to resonate. Like, he's a slick talker, and a lot of people won't do any homework. What are your thoughts on Gavin and this game that he seems to be playing?
I think what will happen is there's a lot of Democrats who are put off by him, but he's not Trump. There's a lot of Democrats who are put off by him, but he's got name ID, and they don't know what else to do. There's a lot of Democrats who are put off by him, and they'll just take it because they got to find somebody who they think can speak to people and make sense and not be Jasmine Crockett. So I think he's got all those things going for him. But then here's the other piece. I mean, the whole interview with Sean Ryan, and I've only seen snippets of it, so I'm not going to try to portray myself as sitting through. It's like 4 hours long. It was an epic long. War and Peace, man. But he sat like a girl trying to talk like a guy. I mean, he has this effeminate characteristic about him that never goes away, and yet he's overdoing it with the F-bomb and the tough guy talk. And I love the Second Amendment. And don't you know these things? And listen, man, I got to tell you, that President Trump calls me mean names. And I'm like, dude, you know what? If you'd quit trying to be the guy and just be the guy, you'd be all right. I'll never forget. Remember the time when he was a debate with Ron DeSantis. Remember that? Out of the blue, these two governors, Newsom challenged him to a debate, and DeSantis said okay. And so last year they did a televised debate, and Newsom got his backside handed to him. It was unbelievable, because he thought he'd come in and be the tough schmarmy guy, and he had nothing. So Democrats got their hands full with him. Hey, I love you both. That's it. Butters and Lee, I hear the music playing. Leister, thank you so much. Butters, good to see you in studio. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.